This month, during stewardship season, as we read our texts for each week, we're invited to ask these questions. What is the money story of this scripture? What are the money stories of the characters in the text? What does this text teach us about God's money story? Our first reading is from Exodus 16, 1 through 18. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them whether they will follow my instructions or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer per person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed." Our witness of modern wisdom is "Worry About Money" by Kathleen Jesse Rain. Wearing worry about money like a hair shirt, I lie down in my bed and wrestle with my angel. My bank manager could not sanction my continuance for another day. But life itself wakes me each morning, and love urges me to give, although I have no money in the bank at this moment, and ought properly to cease to exist in a world where poverty is a shameful and ridiculous offense. God is still speaking, and we are still listening. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Beth. Will you pray with me now? Holy God, there is something about Scripture that stirs us awake. For when we hear of deep love that made room for everyone at the table, we remember that we are hungry. When we hear of manna raining down in the desert, we remember that we are lost. There is something about Scripture that stirs us awake, and it feels like hunger, and it looks like hope. So stir us awake, O God. Remind us that this story starts with love and ends with love. We are hungry, which is to say, we are listening. Amen. Well, good morning. We are diving into this passage from Exodus chapter 16, a powerful story which speaks to an ancient people's journey through the wilderness, and quite honestly, to our own journey. It is a story of freedom, anxiety, scarcity, trust, and most importantly, God's provision. As we reflect on this passage, I'd invite us to also think about what it means for our stewardship, our relationship with money and possessions and all the gifts that God entrusts to us as individuals and households and as a community of faith. In the story of the Exodus, we read how the Hebrew people have at last been liberated from Pharaoh's empire. They've escaped oppression and exploitation and forced labor. And they've crossed the Red Sea, and they are no longer slaves. They are free. But the irony is they don't feel free. Instead, they are anxious and afraid and growing increasingly bitter. In the wilderness, they are unsure of what to do with their freedom. They are free from that culture of extraction and consumption and accumulation and domination, but they have not yet learned what it means to live as free people. And they complain, why did we even leave Egypt? At least there we had meat and vegetables. Here in the wilderness, we have nothing. Did you lead us out here to die? We could have done that back there. They've experienced liberation from oppression, but they still carry the scars and the hidden trauma of living in scarcity and fear. And in this moment of unprecedented anxiety and uncertainty that we are living in, they keep saying those words, unprecedented. Perhaps we can relate to that feeling. The trauma of living without enough can live with us and even in us, in our bodies, and in our minds and our hearts for a long, long time. How often do we feel we don't have enough, whether it's our time or our money or our peace of mind? We're free from so much, but there are still those moments when we question whether we will see enough to sustain us, to survive. So we carry that nagging feeling with us, and we feel each day as another wilderness of want. What do we do when we find ourselves in the wilderness of our own lives? When there's more month than money? When we face financial uncertainty, when the world tells us we are not enough, that we don't have enough. Like the Israelites, we can fall into fear. And fear leads us either to turn inward, to hoard, and to hold tightly to what we have. I need to go get some more toilet paper. I'm going to stock up on canned goods. Fear can also lead us to turn outward and lash out at those who are somehow different or other from us. As a wise teacher once said, fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Thank you, Yoda. But is this not exactly what we are seeing today as we see people turn against trans people or immigrants in our country? The narrative of scarcity is used to create anxiety and scarcity and to hold people in that state of fear and hopelessness. In fact, I know there are many of us who have had times of lean times in the wilderness. I know in a room like this, there are stories of real scarcity. Times when you've had to stretch a dollar or make do or simply go without. There are those who live paycheck to paycheck. And there are moments when we've all been anxious about what the future holds. But there are also stories of abundant grace. Times when, despite our challenging circumstances, we were provided for. There was enough. And this is where God's provision shows up, in the unexpected, in what we could not predict, in the moments when we had enough and more than enough even, enough to share. Can you remember some of those moments in your life too? In today's passage, God shows that the Hebrew people had that experience. There is enough. Manna appeared on the ground and quail fell from the sky. God provided food not just for a day, but for each person to gather enough for their needs. God has even given them a day when there'll be twice as much as needed so that they can take a day of rest, a day of Sabbath. But there's a catch. They can't hoard it. They can't gather more than they need for a day, or it will spoil. This is the economy of God. Provision for today, enough for everyone, and an invitation to trust for tomorrow. In a book about money, theologian Walter Brueggemann writes, "In such a marginal existence, one might have expected a daily, unrelieved foraging for food in the wilderness. But the Creator, who governs the wilderness, has provided more than enough. Even the need for food does not require the zone of Yahweh's governance to become an endless rat race for more. God's economy says there is enough, not just enough for us, but enough for our neighbors. The invitation to the covenant people is to trust in God's provision. And trust creates space for abundance of God's economy to unfold. Now, at this point in the story, I'm always reminded that the distance from Egypt to the promised land would have taken a matter of weeks or maybe months to walk. But it took 40 years, two generations in the wilderness, for the people to begin to trust the truth of God's covenant promise that I will be your God and you will be my people. Now, last week, I spoke about economies of extraction. Today, we hear this story of an economy of enough. God's economy is so different from Pharaoh's. Pharaoh's empire was built on extraction. Pharaoh takes from the land, takes from the people. Even other peoples are forced to pay dues and taxes and tithes. And Pharaoh hoards all that wealth, leaving the poorest of the poor to scrounge for whatever scraps are left. It's a system built on fear and scarcity. There's never enough. Only enough for the few at the top, perhaps. But God's economy is radically different. It's a radical vision of trust and enoughness. And this is evidenced again and again in the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, when he feeds the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish. When he teaches against worry and says to the disciples, "See how God clothes the lilies of the field and the birds of the air. Will he not also provide for you?" Brueggemann goes on to say, Jesus was commending and demonstrating an economy that was sure to collide with the established economic patterns, with those who presided over and benefited from those patterns. And his term for that alternate economy was kingdom of God, a different kind of king. But that is a social practice and a set of social relationships that are congruent with the God of the covenantal Torah of ancient Israel. Now, we together might use a different word. We might call that alternative economy a kingdom or beloved community or or practicing kindness, or mutual aid, or just being a good neighbor. But whatever you call this kingdom of God, as demonstrated by Jesus, it turns the world's economy on its head. It's not about taking more, 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 but about sharing, about dividing and redistributing the resources, because in God's world, there is always more than enough. Now, I believe this is the economy we are called to live into as a community of faith. But let's bring this home for a moment and just invite ourselves to ask, what is our money story? What is the story we carry around in our bodies, in our minds, and our hearts? Is it one of fear and anxiety and scarcity, or is it one of trust and abundance and enoughness? We all carry these stories, shaped by our upbringing, our experiences in life, and our encounters with scarcity and abundance. And some of us have learned to make do to stretch what we have in those lean times. Others have experienced the joy of welcoming others in and setting the table before them and sharing that meal, that bounty together. All of us have some of these moments in us. In our Bible study this week, we reflected on some of these stories. We shared them in private, but I know that in a room this size, all of you have stories. All of you have amazing stories to share, some painful, but also some beautiful. This is the manna, the reminder that God's provision is enough. It's also encouragement for us to ask, what do we do with the more than enough that we might experience? Do we keep it closely for ourselves? Or do we share it freely, knowing that there is always more than enough for everyone? This is what I believe is the heart of stewardship. And yes, we're doing a stewardship campaign because we have to do that every year. That's how we plan for our budget for the next year. But I hope this series is more than that this year. I hope it is an opportunity for us to shift in our identity, to move from an identity of burden, of being caught in the rat race of scarcity, towards an identity of freedom, of liberation. Freedom to trust that God will provide. Freedom to share what we have because we know there's enough. Adam Erickson, in a commentary about this passage, writes, "In this passage, God acknowledges not only the Israelites' need for assurance, but also God's desire to shape them as a different kind of people, a different kind of community. And in the ritual, the practice of daily gathering of food that falls from the sky, they will learn with their very bodies to come to trust their God. They will learn to share their basic human resources equitably." We are invited to be that different kind of community, one where trust replaces fear and generosity replaces scarcity, and hope and faith take root deep in our bodies. As a community of faith, we are called to be stewards of all the gifts that God has entrusted to our care, knowing that when we trust, there will always be enough. As we reflect on the image of manna, the bread from heaven, and we prepare ourselves to celebrate at this table, let us remember that our relationship with money shapes our relationship to our Creator, to our neighbor, to our own hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, if it's true for you and you feel comfortable to do so, I invite you to join me in this affirmation of faith. The story of God calls us to remember that creation was good and that Sabbath is necessary. The story of God calls us to remember that we belong to one another, that we are bone of bone and flesh of flesh. The story of God calls us to remember that reconciliation between siblings is holy, and slavery of any kind is evil. The story of God calls us to remember that the wilderness is real, and that God will be with us, raining down manna and speaking in a still, small voice. The story of God calls us to remember that love looks like healing the sick, eating with the outcast, making room for the children, and seeing the unseen. The story of God calls us to remember, because if we forget, we risk making God, love, and reconciliation so small. So as we remember, may we declare, we believe in a God who made all things good, who stands with the suffering, walks with us in the wilderness, sees the overlooked, loves with untamed heart, and makes room for all at God's table.